This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, April 27th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. A corporate tax falls flat. California fines poultry companies and conservation standards in play. Newsom rejects corporate tax hike pitched by Dems. Senate Democrats in the legislature released their state budget proposal yesterday, addressing the projected deficit. The lawmakers would raise corporate taxes by $6 billion, or an increase of 24%. Senate Budget Chair Nancy Skinner of Berkeley said this approach ensures, quote, the biggest corporations that pocketed massive tax cuts during the Trump years start paying their fair share. The plan would also slash small business taxes by 25%. The outcry? Well, business groups immediately excoriated the proposal. Cal Chamber President and CEO Jennifer Barrera argued the tax hike would send the wrong signals to job creators and investors and urged the state to dip into its rainy day fund. The Legislative Analyst's Office warned this should only be tapped if the state falls into a recession. Robert Gutierrez, president of the California Taxpayers Association, said the state's tax climate is among the worst in the nation, with employers facing the highest operating and regulatory costs. Dead on arrival? Well, Governor Newsom heeded the calls. He issued a statement saying it would be, quote, irresponsible to jeopardize the progress we've all made together. As for ag spending, well, Senate Dems rejected Newsom's proposed reductions for the sustainable ag package. That would bump up funding for farm-to-community hubs, urban ag, and pollinator habitat. They would add cap-and-trade dollars to programs Newsom would zero out. That includes $135 million for ag equipment upgrades under the Farmer Program, $35 million for methane reduction, and $5 million for research into greenhouse gas reductions in ag. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West next. When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance. Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. California fines poultry plants for wage theft. The Labor Commissioner has reached a $1.5 million settlement with poultry companies for wage theft affecting more than 300 workers. The five processing plants operate in Los Angeles. The companies hired labor contractors that paid workers $2.35 per box of deboned chicken. Along with violating minimum wage laws, the contractors did not provide rest breaks or cover overtime. The poultry companies leasing the facilities were held responsible for the violations. Specialty crop growers increasing automation adoption. Specialty crop growers anticipate labor costs, which already represent more than half of their production costs, to grow 10 to 30% over the next 3 to 5 years and are increasingly turning to automation as a solution. That according to a new report from the Western Growers Association. Walt Duflock, Vice President of Innovation at Western Growers, says the forward of the report that the lack of domestic workforce combined with the increased cost of foreign employees has, quote, increased the urgency around automation solutions globally. Since 2005, the number of H-2A jobs has increased over 500%, the report noted. H-2A jobs now account for approximately 10 to 15% of full-time equivalent jobs in crop agriculture. Grower respondents that use the H-2A to some extent of their operations indicated that the average share of H-2A workers on their farms increase from 43% to more than 60% between 2020 and 2022, the report said. This is an increase of more than 15% in just 2 years. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. Key Senate trio may hold Labor nominees' fate. Julie Sue's nomination as Labor Secretary still faces a difficult path to Senate confirmation, but she made it through a committee vote yesterday on a party line 11-10 decision. Three key senators, Democrats Joe Manchin of West Virginia, John Tester of Montana, and independent Kristen Cimino of Arizona, have not said whether they would support Sue, who has been deputy secretary for nearly 2 years. The vote on that nomination was 50-47. Manchin, Tester, and Cimino all voted for Sue then. Before joining the Labor Department, Sue was California Labor Secretary. Now, also, Jessica Luman, who was cleared to be Wage and Hour Division Chief by the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee on March 28th, is also awaiting a full Senate vote. She has been the acting chief since the start of the Biden administration. House approves debt ceiling bill with tougher SNAP rules. House Republican leaders yesterday narrowly won approval for their bill to raise the debt ceiling while also slashing federal spending and expanding SNAP work requirements. The Limit, Save, Grow Act passed the chamber 217-215 and now heads to the Democrat-controlled Senate. No House Democrat voted in support. The bill was a test for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who attempted to navigate clashing Republican concerns over the bill's contents. His original draft repealed the biofuel-related tax incentives in the Inflation Reduction Act, but those were retained under pressure from Midwest Republicans. Four Republicans, Andy Briggs of Arizona, Ken Buck of Colorado, Tim Burchett of Tennessee, and Matt Gaetz of Florida, voted against the measure. Biggs and Gaetz both issued press releases saying they did not believe the measure went far enough to cut spending. You can read our full report at AgriPulse.com. USAID. Ethiopian war rivals teamed up to steal U.S. food. Former warring factions in Ethiopia colluded to steal food aid sent by the U.S. Agency for International Development to help those facing famine conditions in the country, that according to USAID Administrator Samantha Power. The theft was fairly substantial, although some of the food was recovered after investigators discovered the U.S.-branded product in markets, Power told the Senate Foreign Relations Committee yesterday. The theft apparently took place sometime after a truce was signed in early November by Ethiopia's government and leaders of the breakaway northern region of Tigray. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, April 27th, brought to you by Bravo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.